You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hi, this is Lee Baucom. I am glad you're with us. I appreciate you being here, and I hope that you find this useful as you work to save your marriage or save your relationship. That's what we're here for. That's why this podcast exists. That's why I'm here. Now, today, you know, I'm coming to you from a little different location. And this location happens to remind me of why I do this. I have had the honor and pleasure of being with my parents while my father has been going through a knee replacement. It happened last week, and I was able to come and spend some time with him. And so right now I'm recording this from his study. My father is a retired pastor who continues to keep up his time studying and keeps up with that. So he's still got his study right off attached to his house, and I've just taken that over while he's confined to the rest of the house. And the reason that it's a reminder for me is because I've watched over at least my life, but for my parents to have been married for the last 50 years, happily married, and to watch them through this time of struggle, of my father being in pain and yet still trying to, you know, kind of take care of himself, and watching my mother trying to take care of him, and they both taking care of each other, has reminded me of the power of that connection of marriage. It's reminded me of how strong that bond can be year after year, and why I believe so strongly in working on saving a marriage. Now, understand, I've also watched others in my family who have divorced. I've had uncles and aunts who went through divorce. And so it's not that I have the delusion that every marriage can be saved. I know that that's not the case. I just believe that marriages need a better shot than we give them. And so at the same time, I'm appreciative of my parents' marriage, of having had that as a witness to see just what a marriage can be. I'm also reminded of the love I have in my life, of my wife and her dedication of a quarter of a century of putting up with my sometimes crazy decisions to do things like this podcast and other things that are there out there. But how appreciative I am of the fact that that allows me to take care of my parents for these few days. So I'm coming here from a different location. Not that you would know that, but I know that. And I'm thinking back about how that means so much to have watched such a way of dealing with relationships. So today I want to talk about a topic. I talked about forgiveness a while back, and that kind of got some people responding about how do you do this forgiveness thing. And so I went through the stages in that, the steps of how to forgive, in a couple of podcasts back. And then last week I talked some about how you might be frustrated and ready to give up and the reason to keep going. And so for me, this is kind of a spectrum of what I want to talk about today. Today is how to apologize. It's an important topic for me because I don't know that apologies come natural. They certainly do not come natural for me. So let me just tell you clearly that I don't think that I have always done or always do the best job of making an apology. And so I've been thinking about that a good bit. So I want to just kind of talk about how do you do an apology that's as effective as it can be, and how do you do it in a way that's as helpful as it can be to the relationship. So I looked up and I wondered, you know, where did the word apology come from? I was looking for a lot of depth of understanding and somehow that this would help me understand the true nature of an apology. Well, it turns out that it comes from the Greek apo and logia, which literally means a speech away from. It was a speech in one's own defense. And so if somebody was accused of something, they would make an apology, an apologia, a way of defending themselves. Now, understand that this was more of a legal term then, or a civic term, of you're doing it in the population to help them understand why you did what you did. So now, the problem is sometimes we do that still. Unfortunately, we've taken that idea of an apology is my way of explaining away why I did what I did. And we put that into the personal relationships. Now, apology for me is much less a legal concept now and more a conciliatory concept. And so we got to really let go of the fact that it was that speech in defense of. So let's just kind of get rid of that there is any way of in defense of. Apology is not for forgiveness. An apology is a way of accepting responsibility and attempting reconciliation. And that's a very important distinction, because sometimes we think that we apologize in order to get forgiveness. And first, what that does is it goes back to an idea I talked about a couple of weeks ago in that podcast on forgiveness, that forgiveness is not for the person being forgiven. If I do something that hurts somebody else, the forgiveness that they may come to is not for me, it's for them. Now, I can hope for that forgiveness, right? I can hope that they will forgive me, but that's not why I apologize. That might be a nice part of the process. Forgiveness must be a choice of the other person. And you have to accept that it is not in your control to get their forgiveness. All you can do is take responsibility for your actions. That's all that you have the capacity for. And this is a very important place, because a lot of times we find ourselves locked into this apology as a begging for forgiveness. And I want you to step back for a minute and recognize that when you're asking for or giving an apology, you're not asking for forgiveness primarily. You're taking on responsibility for your actions, and you are attempting to create reconciliation. See, I divide those up. There's responsibility, there's reconciliation, and there's forgiveness. Responsibility is what the person who did the whatever, who did the deed, did the crime, does. Reconciliation is something that happens between the two people, and forgiveness is what happens on the other person's side. Whoever you injured, that person that has been hurt, they choose that forgiveness. You can't do that for them. Your only part is taking responsibility for your actions and hoping that that might move you towards reconciliation. You see, apology is for action. It's not for some feeling you created. And so the first rule of when you're apologizing is to say, I am sorry, I, and then you name the action. I am sorry I stepped out on the marriage. I had that conversation with somebody else. I am sorry I treated you poorly. I am sorry I raised my voice at you. I am sorry I fill in the blank. It's action. You have to fill in that blank with action. I am sorry I did this. What we often like to do instead is to say, I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. I'm sorry what I did hurt you. I'm sorry that when I did that, it bothered you. That's not an apology for your actions, and it's not taking responsibility. So rule number one is apology is about action, not about the feelings created in the other person. Because basically what you're saying is, I'm sorry that hurt your feelings, is I'm not sorry for what I did. I'm only sorry that it bothered you. And so what it does is it shifts it to the other person. It changes it from something that you did that you're taking responsibility to somehow they felt bad about that, and you're sorry for that, but not taking responsibility for the actions. Think about that in your own life. If somebody has ever offered you an apology, and the apology is for your feelings, the apology is for how it made you feel. I'm sorry if that bothered you, but is often what we hear. I'm sorry that hurt your feelings. And sometimes we end it there, feeling like you've taken responsibility for the fact that your feelings were hurt. But sometimes we even add another step of but, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. So an apology, number one, is for action, not the feeling created. So as you decide to apologize, make sure that you've identified the action for which you are apologizing. Okay, the second thing is, as a rule, the second rule of apology is it's not an explanation. What we often like to do is apologize and then help the other person understand why we did it. And what we're trying to do is explain. But let me say something I've said many times. The difference between an explanation and an excuse is whether you are saying it or whether you are hearing it. An explanation is always going to be heard as an excuse by the other person. So when you start naming why this happened, You may feel like you're explaining it. In reality, all it's going to be heard as is an excuse for your behavior. In other words, you no longer are taking responsibility. And so even if you intend it just to be an under, you know, help the other person see behind you, see behind the mask, see what was going on inside of you, it will be heard as just a way of shirking your responsibility. So I want to be clear that after you apologize for the action, you then do not continue on with an explanation. The other person may say, why did you do that? And you have to be very careful, because when you start answering the why, it's likely to be heard in the end as an excuse, even though they're asking for it. Because what they're asking for is some magical way you're going to say, it's my bad. I did this wrong. That's it. And what we do instead is say, well, because blah, 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 blah. And as we do, all that grows is the resentment on behalf of the other person, because they suddenly are going, wow, all you're doing is excusing your behavior. Okay, so just to kind of recap where we are, apology is for action, not the feeling created. Number two, apology is not an explanation. It's taking responsibility. So the difference between an explanation and excuse is just simply whether you're saying it or whether you're hearing it. Okay, rule number three, apology does not include a but. What we like to do is say, I'm sorry, I, and we name a behavior, and then we say, but, and we fill it in with an excuse for the behavior. So let me give you just a little hint of psychology if you don't know this. Whatever follows a but negates everything in front of it. But is the beginning of the sentence, even though we've put something in front of it. But gives us our beginning point, and we all hear it that way. I'm sorry if what I did hurt you, but blah, 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 blah. Again, we shift responsibility, both by saying it's not about an action and then claiming an excuse. So what you'll notice whenever you hear somebody make an apology to you, you're likely to hear a but in there, and you're going to recognize that as soon as that happens, it no longer feels like an apology. So apologies do not include but. Rule number three, they do not include but, because a but negates everything in front of it. Okay. Accept the possibility that your apology may be refused. You see, your task is to offer an apology. The next action is up to the other person. So here's the next piece. Rule number four, if your apology is not accepted, don't try to force the person to take it or shame them into taking it. A lot of times people will apologize and the other person will say, well, that's not good enough. And immediately the person said, I said I'm sorry. What else can I do? Which is pushing it back on the other person that somehow you're trying to force them to accept your apology. Your responsibility is to offer the apology. That's what you can do. From there, you begin a process of either shame or force to get the other person to accept it. And that no longer makes it a true acceptance of the apology. They may say it. They may say that they accept it because you forced them into it, but that doesn't mean they're going to feel it. And you're not going to walk away feeling any better off, because somewhere deep inside of you, you know you forced it. And all that does is put you back in control of the situation, and you've pulled a power play. So don't turn it on them. Your task is to take responsibility for what happened. It is up to the other person to decide whether they're going to accept the apology or not. Sometimes, for whatever reason, people are not ready to accept the apology. And we've got to accept that. And that's one of the difficult things of this place of reconciliation, is that sometimes somebody will say, that's not okay with me. I don't forgive you. Now understand that you, after listening to the podcast, if you listened to it a couple of weeks ago, you may say, oh, but that's for them. And you may suddenly find yourself wanting to lecture them about why they should forgive you and what it would mean, and that it's their responsibility. And you can say a lot of things, but all you're trying to do at that point is force them. All you're trying to do at that point is to force them to offer you forgiveness. Why? Simply so you'll feel better. The task of an apology is not just so you'll feel better, it's so you'll take responsibility, and sometimes that doesn't feel real good. Sometimes that doesn't make us feel like everything's okay. And so we really have this place, this need. You know, you'll notice that in Hollywood, all the movies that are popular wrap everything up at the end. You know, they get it all wrapped up. And in fact, I would caution you to wonder what would be like to watch movies without that, right? Because it leaves us with that certain place. I don't know if you've been going to see, for instance, The Hobbit recently, and The Hobbit is just one piece. The movie that's out, the recent one, is just one piece of that longer story. And so you get to the end and it's got a little pause. You know, they get you to a pause point, but not an end point. It's not all wrapped up yet. And it leaves you walking out of the theater feeling incomplete, not quite finished. And so whenever we look at these movies where it's a series, often we'll leave feeling not quite finished because we like things wrapped up. We like things completed. And that can sabotage your efforts and an apology simply because you want it finished. You want it wrapped up and done and everybody feeling good and everybody walking away feeling happy. That's not necessarily the reality. Sometimes an apology is not accepted, and sometimes the other person is not ready to offer forgiveness. They may not understand forgiveness, but you explaining it is not likely to work. That's a caution. All that really ends up being is you trying to force the person to accept the apology and find forgiveness when they're not ready for it. You may know the secret. The secret being that forgiveness is for the person who forgives, not for the other person. But you can't push that on them. And in fact, in this situation, this is where it highlights that. You may want the other person to forgive you. You can't make that happen. That has to come from the other person. That has to come from the person who has been hurt. And your task is simply to offer the possibility that they can move forward with reconciliation. Okay, so just accept the possibility that as you forgive, that your apology will be refused, that your task is to offer an apology. So rule number 4 is if the other person does not accept your apology, don't try to force them. Don't try to shame them. Accept that that's where they are right now. But also understand that you may have still begun the process of healing. It just is going to take a while to play out, kind of like waiting for the next Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, to come out, right? We have to wait for the next episode to come out to see how it concludes. It's the same in real life. Sometimes we don't quite get what we want. It's not all wrapped up in that hour movie or the half hour TV show. Sometimes we're left hanging for a little bit while the process works its way out. Okay, another mistake that's often made is one that you often see in politics. And so rule number 5 is not to say mistakes were made or anything like that. Sometimes people say, you know, mistakes were made, things were done, things that shouldn't have happened happened. That's not an apology. It is an acknowledgement that things did not go as they should have. But it is not about taking responsibility. And an apology is about saying, I am sorry I did this. Very simple. You know, sometimes people will email me and say, you know, I'm trying to apologize and I'm trying to figure out what is the formula for apologizing. Well, the formula for apologizing is I am sorry I did this. Period. I am so sorry that I did that. Period. I know that hurt your feelings. I know that caused pain for you, and I am so sorry I did blank. That's an apology. Beyond that, all you get into is trying to force the other person to accept it or trying to explain away what you did. Understand that an apology is more than a confession. A confession is simply admitting what you did. You can say, yeah, I know, I did this, right? That's confession. An apology is also expressing remorse and regret for what you did. It's not enough just to name what you did. You also have to make sure that the other person understands your remorse, that you express your remorse and your regret. Most of the time when we are ready to apologize, we are aware of our feelings of remorse and regret. But sometimes we don't let the other person see that. And so we say things like, well, you know, we did things that we both regret and mistakes were made and things that kind of leave it out there. Or you say, yes, yes, I know I did this, period. The next step is to take both the confession and the regret and remorse together and say, I am sorry I did this. Okay, so let me now give you one major caveat. Do not apologize for what you did not do. Do not just offer an apology because you want to stop the disagreement. That's not what apologies are for. That's not what apologies can help you do. So don't take responsibility for what you did not do. Do take responsibility for what you did do. Do take responsibility for what you did cause pain about. That's the big thing I want you to kind of hear from me, is that this is about taking responsibility for your actions. There's no need to take more responsibility than you did. Sometimes I find people who feel like they have to apologize for everything. And when they do that, what I realize is they've also gotten into an unhealthy pattern of taking responsibility for everything. Take responsibility for what you did. Do not take a responsibility for what you did not do. There's no need to take on more. We all do plenty without having to take on everybody else's responsibility. And oftentimes you find that the need to apologize for things you did not do is motivated by one of two things. Number one is the desire to stop an argument and to reconnect. So we think that if we just kind of, you know, give an apology, we can pause that conflict and we can get to a better place. The problem is now we have a secondary problem where we have taken on responsibility for things that, one, we did not do, and two, we should not be responsible for. So now we have led to another piece. You know, it's kind of like I've watched and read about people who, when they've been charged with a crime, they're under the microscope with the police. The police are trying to get them to confess, and they get so tired of the pressure that they finally confess, even if they didn't do it, just to stop the interrogation. And suddenly they have a secondary problem on their hands. Suddenly they have a situation where now they're being held responsible for something they did not do because they were trying to stop the process by their confession. So the desire to stop an argument and reconnect is one reason why we often apologize for what we did not do. And usually it doesn't stop the argument. It only ramps up, then why did you do that, right? We suddenly are taking responsibility and off we're running on something else. The second is that it really is a response to an interrogation from someone, which is often really about that other person's attempt to control the situation. I've had people who have spouses who constantly accuse them of having affairs, of having inappropriate relationships, of flirting with the opposite sex, and doing all kinds of things that they did not do. And they get pushed and they get pushed and they get pushed, and they finally admit to something they did not do to try to stop it, only ramping up the conflict. And it's all about control. So a major caveat is you apologize for what you did do. You take responsibility for what you did do, but not for what you did not do. Apologies are about responsibility. So you take responsibility for your actions, not for what you're not responsible for. Okay, that's a major one. I want people, because often I see patterns where people are apologizing for what they did not do to try to stop the argument and create reconciliation, which is a noble approach, just ill-guided. Or they are involved in somebody who has become controlling, and they do it because they're trying to find a way out of the interrogation, and all that happens is they further feel the control. Okay, so just so we kind of cement this down, let's talk about this one more time. Number one, apology is not for forgiveness, but of accepting responsibility and attempting reconciliation. Forgiveness, choice of the other person. Okay, number two, apology is for action, not the feeling created. You need to say, I am sorry, I blank, and that blank is filled in with some action you did. Not, I am sorry, I hurt your feelings. Number three, an apology is not an explanation. It's not a time to say, this is why I did that. It's to say, I shouldn't have done that. I am so sorry. Okay. Apologies, true apologies, do not include but negates your apology. Number 5, accept your possibility that your apology will be refused. So your task is to offer, not to try to force acceptance, not to try to shame the other person, and not to turn it on them. It's about taking responsibility. It's up to the other person to decide whether to accept or not. Okay, so now you have hopefully some new ideas, and you know, I thought through this and it gives me some new ideas of what I need to do as I apologize. Hopefully for you, it's been a good reminder of better ways of reaching towards reconciliation in the apology process. You remember, the forgiveness process is for the other person. Reconciliation can happen between you. The apology may be the piece that begins the process of reconciliation once again. Now that we've gotten through that, let me make a request of you. Tell me what would be helpful in what you're listening to. Tell me what would be helpful in the podcast, what was useful here. You can leave comments in the comment section if you're at the blog. If you're at the blog on my website, you can just leave a comment below. If you're listening to this on iTunes or Stitcher or a number of the other apps for the podcast, then you can also go find my blog at SaveTheMarriageBlog.com. That's SaveTheMarriageBlog.com, and you'll see that you can leave comments there. One thing that you can really help me is just by tweeting this. And if you're already on Twitter, it's very easy. Just go to your browser and type in SaveTheMarriage.com/love. That's SaveTheMarriage.com/love. And that will take you directly to a pre-populated tweet. You can just hit send or you can alter it. But it lets people know that they're going to find good stuff if they come listen to the podcast. One other thing is if you listen on iTunes or on one of the apps, please give us a rating. Please let people know that this is a good thing to listen to, can be helpful for them. That helps us, and it also helps other people. So we spread the message of how to work on your relationship. And the last thing I want to tell you is, if some of this is ringing bells for you, you can easily find some of my material on Kindle. You can go to SaveTheMarriage.com/Kindle, and it'll take you right to the book available on Amazon, and you can get it on any device. If you've got something in your pocket or on your desk, you can read it there. Okay, that's the end for this week. I wish you the best. Again, this is Lee Balcom letting you know that I'm here to help you save your marriage. Let me know how we can be of further assistance. I wish you the best.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.